And when Mal made Mal made that for me. When I was going back and forth with her, I'm like, I'm doubting my graphic of doubt. So anyway, we're going to talk about don't doubt. And I want to tell you why don't doubt. Do not doubt, because God is so good. Jesus is so good. Jesus said, and I'm going to read this scripture to you. Oh, yay, I brought my glasses. So they're going to try to keep up with me. This is Mark 11, 12 through 14. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now we're going to skip down to Mark 11, 20 through 24. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." I kind of wondered, did he go, "Have faith in God"? You know, like he's portrayed in the movies. I don't think so. Like, "Have faith in God. You've been with me all this time." I'm kind of paraphrasing, but "have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he," not Jesus, but he, we, "says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And that's Mark 11, 20 through 24. So Jesus said, don't doubt. He said, don't doubt. Why did you doubt? When Peter was walking on the water, if some of you remember that event that took place, Jesus sent his disciples in a boat and he kind of hung back and they went out into the boat, and then Jesus came walking on the water. And I love this. I don't know why it's there, but in one of the translations or one of the gospels, it says he would have kept walking. Like if they had said nothing, he would have just kept walking on by. That's fascinating to me. But they said, "Whoa, it's a ghost." And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. It's I." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And he said, "Come on." So he got out of the boat, walked on the water, and was doing okay for a minute. Then looked at the wind and the waves. Fear came, and he started to sink. And Jesus, I love this about Jesus. He didn't go, "Welp, you had no faith. You doubted. I'm just going to let you drown." No, he reached down, grabbed him, and he said, "Oh, why did you doubt?" But they walked back on the water together. That's the nature of Jesus. And that's why I want to tell you, don't doubt. And as we were singing praise and worship, a story, I have lots of stories just like Pastor does, because, hey, we've been married for almost 39 years. So we've lived a lot. The incident that comes to my mind is about our son, Sam. We were living in an old farmhouse, and when Sam was little, he had what they called, I'm going to come out this way, reactive airway disease, which is just another way of saying asthma. So we dealt a lot. He was allergic to cats. He was allergic to a lot of stuff. But this one particular night, how much do I say, Lord? All of it. Zach had come. They had sort of an attic room, but it was cool. You know, we had redone it. Everything was, you know, new, everything. Zach had come to us, and he said, "I saw something black in my room, Daddy, and it kind of scared me." Well, it was the summer, and there were a lot of flies, and so we thought it was a fly, like it was a bug. So we just kind of brushed it off. We prayed with him and said, you know, "Honey, don't worry about that." So that night, Zach ran downstairs and he said, "Daddy, Sam cannot breathe." So we're kind of used to this. You never are like, "Oh yeah, you just slough it off," but he couldn't breathe. And it was the worst we'd ever seen him. So Brett, he has told the story before that he felt like he may have to, now I'm not trying to be TMI or gross, but this is how it went down. He thought it was so bad that he may have to do a tracheotomy before the ambulance got there. So he told me, go call the ambulance. And all the way down, and I don't say this to go, oh, look at me. I say this to say this. At that point, I could not doubt. I had no doubt. This is my son. And any of you who are mamas, even dads out there, you will just like get out of my way. I don't even care. So I ran downstairs, and that was the days of, you know, the phones on the wall. And the whole time I'm praying in the spirit, and I called, I dialed 911, and I'm speaking in tongues when they're answering. So, hey, there you go. So I'm, you know, I'm binding a spirit of death. I'm rebuking a spirit of death because I don't care. There is no shame. That's my son, and I know that that's what I am dealing with. So gave him the address. We knew what to do. I knew in times past we had to give him steroids. Anyway, they got there. He, you know, they were like, it's a miracle that, you know, because he was really bad. I don't know why I was to share that. Maybe other than when you get into a moment of trouble, tribulation, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you cannot doubt that, and you cannot care who's in the room. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor sort of touched on it this week, and I know I have said it before, and I'm going to get another drink of water. So, sorry, I always think it's awkward when people drink water in front of you. Sorry, I got to do it. Okay. Not awkward, thanks, Sheila. Well, I'll give you my side of the story. Pastor gave you his, so he had to drive himself to the ER because he was having chest pains. I didn't know what was going on. He called me, and I said, I'll meet you down there. So I went down there, and it was 2020, so you can't just walk in. I had to wait. They said, you will wait 15 minutes. And I said, okay, I'm timing it. 15 minutes, I'm coming back in here. So I got in my car, and I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that he wasn't feeling well. I don't even know if I knew he had chest pains. But in the car, it was a sunny day, I remember that, and I'm facing McKinley. I think it's McKinley Park. And I just felt, the only way I can describe it is just, I felt like a liquid presence try to come into the car, like fear. Like I feel like I could see it but couldn't see it, if that makes sense. So I just felt it coming in the car. And I just, the Holy Spirit rose up in me and I said, no. So I bind you, fear. Brett will not die. And I didn't know what was happening. I just started speaking life to him. I bind you, fear. You can go. You get out now. Do you know you can bind fear? Like, don't let fear in. He's not your friend because he'll take you. Fear has torment and he will torment you. So I did that. And then on top of that, I started speaking to all the bills. You know, I don't know. It just started coming out of me. Those bills will be paid. We have insurance, but this is not going to be a thing. So my timer went off and they had not called me. So I went back in. As I was coming in, the nurse came out. She said, Kim Gleason? Yes. He's having a heart attack. Just very nonchalant. And I am telling you, and I told my kids this, I did not feel fear. I did not even doubt that he was, you know, that he was not going to make it. I really feel at that moment in time that the gift of faith, I can't even explain it all. The gift of faith came in where I was fully persuaded, like a gift of faith, because that normally had not been my nature. So I went in. There were people surrounding him head to toe. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is pretty serious. You know, you have these thoughts because you have these thoughts. This is pretty serious. They're letting me right up in, and this is COVID season. So I went up to him, and he started telling me, please tell the kids I love them. Honey, I love you, and I know my husband well enough. He was checking out, and he said, I was checking out. And I said, I love you too, and I will tell them, but you're not going anywhere. And I started to rebuke the spirit of death. I didn't care who was in there. Now, I wasn't like, oh, you know, it wasn't that. But I couldn't second guess it. Oh, man, what will these people think? They're here and they're going to think I'm weird. I don't care. That's my husband. So what I'm saying is you're going to have situations because Jesus said in this life, you're going to have trouble. Jesus said it. But when he died on the cross, he took sin pain, sickness, poverty, depression, everything you could ever deal with. He took it in his own body on the tree, and he left us with everything we would ever need. He equipped us to walk in this life. So we are to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And that's what we as a church are to do, is to equip you. And sorry, listen to my voice. Are you hearing it? Okay, hold on. I'm going to speak to it. So here you go. Voice, I command you to be clear in the name of Jesus. This is not staged. I'm just letting you know. You become clear in the name of Jesus. I bind all symptoms. You go in Jesus' name, and I will finish this message in the name of Jesus. But what I'm saying is we are to equip you as a church to go out into your world, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, anyone with plagues, raise the dead, cast out devils. And some people might be saying, ooh, that sounds freaky. No, we do have an enemy, and there are devils, there are demons. But I want to equip you, and I want you to know the word of God, and I want you to know how much he loves you. And I know we've all had experiences. I mean, yeah, we've all had experiences where we've lost somebody, or hey, we've gotten sick, or, you know, it felt like the word was not working. But we can't filter the promises of the Lord through our experiences. And I know I've done that. You know, so-and-so passed away. But Jesus said to raise the dead. I can't take those experiences and water it down because of what I've seen. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit. When we were driving here, and even this morning when I was listening to a podcast, the preacher on the podcast was telling about how Jesus knows everything. He's our high priest. Have you all read that scripture? He's our high priest, and he experienced everything that we experienced. He experienced betrayal. You know, when he was on trial, it was the most messed up trial ever. Ever. The most awful thing. An innocent man, but it had to be done. But in that time, they were questioning him, and John was in the crowd, and Peter was in the crowd. And they were asking him questions, and he said, "Why don't you ask the ones who have been with me?" And his friends didn't stand up for him. John just sort of hunkered down. And then you know what Peter did? He cursed and said, "I don't even know this man." So he has experienced betrayal. Have you experienced betrayal? Have you walked through a divorce? Have you had your best friend turn around and knife you in the back? Jesus felt that pain. He felt that. And he took the stripes on his back for you. He took everything. The Bible says he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, but he didn't open his mouth. Now, in the garden, he prayed, "Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, I'm going to do what you said to do." And he did it. So I want to submit to you that it doesn't matter what it feels like. Because a lot of times, like right now, I'm like, "Lord, listen to my voice." That's okay. It doesn't matter what it feels like. God's word is true. I am healed. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. You're healed. He wants to heal every part of you, and that's what I wanted to say. There are many of you, if not all of you, who have heart wounds, not like from, you know, a heart attack or anything like that, but you've had experiences in your life, trauma, things that have, betrayal, things that have marked you. And so you have pain that you carry with you. And sometimes that pain, that's what we see things through, is the pain of our experiences. Real quick, I want to read to you what doubt is, because we don't want to do it. The definition of doubt is to suspect, to fear, to be apprehensive, to question or to hold questionable, to hesitate to believe or to be inclined not to believe, to withhold confidence from and to distrust. So that's why doubting is a big thing. We have to know the nature of God. We have to know that He is love. And we have to know this. And don't get mad at me. If you do, you have to forgive me, okay? God is not going around making people sick to teach them a lesson. That's not what Jesus represented in the Bible. In Hebrews 1:3, it says Jesus was the perfect representation of the Father. And Jesus said, I only do what my Father does. I only say what He tells me to say. So again, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to give you the truth to set you free. I know we've all, you know what, my husband and I, for those of you who don't know, our first son was a stillborn. I don't like that, but I didn't know the truth back then. I just didn't. I didn't know that I had authority, that Jesus gave me authority, that He took the keys of death and hell and gave them to us, that He gives us authority. When we become a Christian, He comes and He lives in us. Old things pass away, all things become new, but we have that power. And I know some great Christians who have, they've died. They've passed away from cancer or, you know, just other things that have happened. But I want to tell you, and I will always say this. I always believe it. I do believe it. I've seen too much. I love that song, and I asked Mal if we could play it because it's too good to not believe. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't tell me He can't. And I'm not trying to be not compassionate because Jesus weeps. When, you know, I'm not quite sure all the details, but when Lazarus died, it said Jesus wept. I don't know if that's because He was angry because they didn't believe or I don't know, but He has felt everything that we would ever feel. So I'm not trying to not have compassion, but I'm saying to you that we do have authority. And Jesus, there's not one example where, if you've seen The Chosen, how many of all, it's okay, if you've seen The Chosen, there's a scene in there where one of the disciples has like a bum knee or something, and he goes to Jesus, and he's like, can you just take this away? And I don't know what all Jesus in that movie said to him, but it's not scriptural. It was basically like, that is not scripture. Jesus never said that to anybody who came to Him. Never did He turn anybody away. And we have to look at that. We have to look at what Jesus did, what He didn't do, what He said, what He didn't say. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want you to know, I know some of your hearts hurt because it looks like, well, my loved one passed away, and it looked like God was silent, because we've heard that too, that God says, yes, no, maybe, wait, I don't know. Have y'all heard that? Have you heard that? That's not scriptural either, because the Bible says all of God's promises are yes and amen. And if He's telling us to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead, we're not supposed to go there and go, but are you teaching them a lesson first? I just don't know. I just want you to wipe that slate clean. And I want you to know, no matter what you've seen from people, what you've experienced from people, what you've heard, truly maybe in church growing up, that God is good. I want you to know He is good. He has given us His authority, and He wants us to go out into our world. And if you pray that, He is going to send people your way. When you go out, there are people, you're going to encounter more people out there than you do in here. People are dying. People are hurting. The suicide rate is astronomical right now because people feel hopeless because of what's going on in the world, but we are to be lights in a dark world. So I want to encourage you. Pastor and I always want to equip you and let you know Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He took all any sickness, pain, whatever ever would be. And there's nothing too hard for Him. Think of Him. He He prayed for lepers. That stuff is catchy, I guess. I mean, I've never met a leper. But that stuff is, you know, but the life in Jesus got off onto that leprosy and killed it, dried it up, not the other way around. So I want you to know you have that same life-giving power, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and you and you and you and you, all of us. And we can go out and we can change this world and we can give hope to people. And then you might be saying, well, what about me? I feel like I need hope. I'm going to give you hope today. I'm going to have some people, Sheila and Kim Milgate, come. And if you need prayer, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your heart. I'm going to pray that the Lord, I don't know how, but shows you, gives you a revelation of his love for you. And I want you to ask him, what am I carrying that maybe I'm not supposed to be carrying? And we're going to do that in a minute, okay? And then what do you want to replace it with, Lord? Okay? So I want you all to stand up. And again, if you feel uncomfortable with this, don't worry about it. I want to be obedient. I want you to know there is life, and I want you to know there is hope, and I want you to love Jesus. It's not religion where it's, you know, the religious people were always following Jesus every time he healed somebody going, you're a demon. You know, do we not kind of hear some of that today? Like, that's a cult. What? When someone gets healed, that's a cult? No. I've seen too much. So what I want you to do, and either Joanne or Ron, if you could put on just some soft music, this is what I feel to do right now. I want you to, we're going to take a little bit of time. I want you to ask the Lord, is there something that you're carrying? And he will either give you a word, you'll hear it, or he'll show you something, you'll get a picture of it. I promise you, if you ask him, he will show you. Our bodies, we're not meant to carry anything but the glory of the Lord. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask him, Holy Spirit, you can do this silently, Holy Spirit, show me anything that I am carrying that I should not be carrying. And we're going to wait. And now I want you to ask him, how do you want to replace that? How do you see that, Lord? First of all, you've got to let go of it. Lay it down. You can't go forward if you can't go to your next place if you just keep holding that. And if it came to kill, steal, and destroy, it was not of the Lord. I want to let you know that. Now ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want to give me in place of that? What do you want to show me? Show me the love of the Father. And I guarantee you, he loves you. He has never left you. It doesn't matter where you've gone or been. He said, I will never leave you. He's never left you. So I'm going to come down here, and I just feel this, that the things that the Holy Spirit has shown you, if he's shown you anything, he wants you to bring it to the altar and just as an act of your faith to lay it there, to lay it and not pick it up anymore. If you don't feel comfortable with that, I get that, but I'm just hearing the Lord say, this is something that we need to do. So I'm going to come down here. And know this, you don't have to tell me what it is. If you choose to come down here, you don't have to tell me what it is. That's between you and the Lord. But I will pray for you. I'll just come down and I will pray for you. And the Lord may have a word for you. I just want to listen to him and be obedient. But he wants us healed inside and out, all of it. And that's what he wants. That's his love. For those of you who have kids, would you give them something? Would you give them a sickness to try to teach them a lesson? Nope, that's child abuse. That's not our Father. And I'll say it for as long as I live. We serve a good, good God. Even if you can't wrap your head around it, just trust his word. God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So yeah, if you feel comfortable, come on down and I will pray for you. But just know today, as an act of your faith, whatever that is, and I know this, I don't know, hasn't seemed like a long service to me, but this is what the Lord wants. He wants you healed. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want you grieving anymore. There's a time to grieve, but then there's a time to not. And I'm saying this by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Letting that grief go is not letting that person go. Do you know that? You can love someone, but you don't have to embrace the grief to where it turns into despair and hopelessness, because that leads you down a road that God never intended for you to go down. He has come that we would have life and more abundantly. And I'm not saying God's like a slot machine and we just do this and I want a Corvette. And so you're going to have a Corvette. Now, if he wants to, great. But that's not why we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord because he is our Father. And he wants a relationship with you. And he wants to talk to you daily. He wants to have, just like you would have a relationship with your kids. And some of you doubt that because maybe you don't have a great relationship with your kids, or you don't even know what a great relationship at this point looks like. Just know this. Daughter, he loves you. Son, he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. So you don't have to get into performance mode and I have to come to church and I want you to come to church. I have to pay my tithes. I have to turn around, touch the ground, do the hokey pokey, and then I get healing or I get whatever, or then I'm in God's good graces. No, you're in his good graces because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's enough. And guess what? You're gonna mess up. You're gonna lose it sometimes. But Jesus took all of that. He took all of it. He just wants you. You don't have to clean up to come to him. So right now, I'm going to start down here, Scott. I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to just let the Lord lead. Different, wasn't it? But that's okay. I had prayed and I asked the Lord, do what you want to do, not what I want to do. And I don't have to be anybody else but his servant, his daughter. So is there anybody else? Ooh, is that kind of ringing? I'll hold it way down. Is there anybody else that you're like, ooh, I just really want to get prayed for? I can come back to you or you can come up. It doesn't matter. But I just don't want to leave anybody out or miss. Yeah. Everybody good? Okay. Well, can you stand with me? I don't know if my hubby is watching this from, I don't even know if he's on a plane or if he's still, I don't know. They're 3 hours behind. But anyway, hi, honey. Everybody say hi, honey. So I still feel like I'm ringing. So I'll do this. Check, check. Okay, so it's time for offering. And I didn't practice this part. Okay, we're going to take up an offering. And I think on the screen, don't doubt, it'll come up on the screen. The different ways you can give. You can give in the basket right now. You can text to give. That's my favorite way because it just is immediate. Yeah, there you go. You can do online and by mail. So we'll just leave that up there. I just encourage you to give. And God is, you know, he gives seed to the sower and bread for eating. So he gives you seed to sow and food to eat. So that's awesome. So let's pray over this. The ushers are going to serve you. And then I will pray a prayer of dismissal, all right? Lord, I thank you. Thank you. You are the giver of all good things of life. Thank you that you give seed to the sower and bread for eating. Lord, we give you this offering now willfully and joyfully because you love a cheerful giver. God, I thank you that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And I thank you for that. And we bless this now and bless these people in Jesus' name. All right. So as they're walking... Yeah, you can turn on some more. Yeah. So, yeah, next week, maybe Pastor will have two jokes to make up for the one that... And no worries, I'll filter it. I'm his filter. You should be thankful because I'm also like, he's the kite in the relationship and I'm the string. You know, kind of, but not really, but kind of. But, yeah, we work well together. I love him. I miss him. Can't wait for him to be back. So let me pray for you, all right? Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you that they came out today, and they're coming back next week. And, Lord, I just pray that they have an amazing week as they go. Lord, lead them to the people that you want them to talk to and share the good news and pray for their healing. Lord, I thank you that we're going to have amazing testimonies and stories when they come back. And, God, I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. Have a great day. Go to Hong Kong Buffet. I'll see you there.
I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight.